We're in the middle of the fifth parak of Maseiles Yesharim, where the Ramchal is describing those things that interfere with and distance you from Zihirus. The first was Tipul V'Tirda, the engagement and involvement ha'olamis with things of this world. The second is Sechok V'Lotzan, and we're in the middle of that section. So I'm going to start again. Achasheni Hine Hukash Me'o, the second interference with Zahirus is very difficult. To Aschok V'Halotzan, it's frivolous, carefree behavior. Kimisha Toveya Bom, who Kimisha Toveya Biyam HaGadol, Shekosh Me'o Dimalimenu. Someone who's drowning in Sechok V'Halotzan is like someone who's drowning in a huge sea that's very difficult to survive and escape. Knesachoik huma abidas leva adam. Sechoik, by definition, distracts you. It takes away your ability to pay attention. Shekvar in hatam v'adeh moshel esbo. The person isn't thinking straight. Vayukashikr, like someone who's drunk. Oshota, or an imbecile. Asher yevshla seislam armol enigon. In their state, it's impossible to give them advice or guidance. Ki enim akaman hogo. They don't accept any guidance. V'humar sh'omu shlomo melech ha'vashom. This is what Shlomo HaMelech says, L'schoik amarti meholol u'simcha ma'azo asa. Sechoik is silly. Simcha, what does it do for you? V'chacham z'chom avocha amar chacham teach us sechoik v'chas rosh margin asad on the erva. If a person behaves in a carefree lifestyle attitude, it'll bring him to erva. Ki af al pi shechamur hi ha'erva eitzel kol ben das v'liba yorim mikrov eilea mikroch atzir shekvar nistar b'sichlo me'amitas godol pish'ov rovan shah. Even though on the surface everyone recognizes the severity of immorality and they know that this is a terrible thing with a terrible einish, it is a terrible crime, yet he has chuk v'kalas rosh mamshichin aso ma'at ma'at. By being carefree and frivolous, it brings it slowly and slowly closer and closer. Makivin aso halach v'karev shtei hayir v'sar me'olof ma'at ma'at medrega ha'madrega. So this natural resistance wears down, little by little, level by level. Achigia el oven asomiasion, until he comes to the actual crime and he commits it. V'chol kach lama, why is that? L'fisha kamosha kol metzias ha-zehirus toli b'simas alev ala davar. Because the same way, the whole essence of zehirus is you're paying attention to what you're doing. Ken kol atzmo shel schoik, the whole purpose of schoik, einu ela meiser halev min ha-machshavas ha-yashars v'ha-yunios, is distracting your mind from inquiring and analyzing. And when he's in that state of sechok and kalas rosh, she will not have any thoughts of yirashamayim. You should see how difficult latsanus is and how destructive it is. When you have a shield and you smear oil on it, so it easily deflects arrows, umashlich la'aretz, and turns them astray to the ground. The shield will protect the bearer of the shield. He will not be harmed by those arrows. Kein halotzon b'fnei ha'tochacha v'hamardus. Litzanos is basically a well-oiled shield in the face of rebuke and direction. With a small little litzanus, with one little joke, you can knock down a tremendous amount of inspiration, a tremendous amount of hispailus. A person is motivated, and with a little wisecrack, it disappears. All that you worked on, that your heart was misoyer, misba'el ba'atzmo, midei ro'oso osham, unyonim she'iru elacheshbon v'pishpish m'maisim, when you are engaged in investigating and seeing and listening to things that motivate you to make a cheshbon nefesh and to examine your deeds and to introspect, u'bekar ha'litzonis, when you have the power of litzonis working against you, ya'apil ha'kol l'aretz, it's like a huge earthquake, knocks everything to the ground, and it makes no impact. Sometimes a person could be part of a group who hears a Musa Shmuz, and after a half hour, 40 minutes, an hour, they walk out, and all you need is one fellow to make a joke, one wisecrack, and the whole thing's out the window. The whole thing is lost. And it's not because the his ayurus and his bailus are small things. They're weak. It's not because the person didn't grasp it. Rather, it's the enormous power of Litzonis to knock down and tear down any concept of Musar and Yira. The Navi Yeshayah would cry about this kekuchya. I think we translate that as a crane, a bird. He understood that his rebukes were not heeded for this reason. It wasn't making an impact. Basically losing all hope for the sinners. Don't make litzonis or your bonds will be tight. Chazal teach us. Shahalait mevi hayisurin alav. Someone who's a letz brings suffering upon himself. Humasha kasev atzmo mevav beferish is what the pasuk says. Nachonu laleitzim shafatim. Punishments are arranged or set up for the letz. Kizeu davar shadin nosir. So this is something which is a logical progression. Kimisha mispael min esponus min halimudim. The person who is inspired when he thinks and he learns. He doesn't need external afflictions. He will repent from his sins without it. Because he is motivated to do tshuva by his thought process, by the musa he learns, or that he listens, for various musa or rebuke. But he does not get motivated by rebuke. This is the power of the Litzonis. So the only way to straighten them out is suffering. The Litzonis does not have the power to push aside suffering the way it has the power to push aside musar. According to the degree of the sin and what it generates, the true judge will punish him accordingly. This Chazal teach us. Litzanis is very difficult. It begins with suffering, but it ends in destruction. Don't be litzanis, don't be a letz, or else your bonds will become strong and you will be cut off. The presentation of the Ramchal, that Tzchoik and Lotzon is an impediment to Zahirus. So he begins by stating the obvious. The whole purpose of Zahirus is to pay attention, to be focused, to think about what you do. And Litzonis and Tzchoik basically make you forget. You're not thinking about it. You are emptying your mind, so to speak. And there are times when people benefit from that. There are times when you actually have to like clear your mind. Sometimes people get in a rut and they can't move beyond that. And a good laugh will clear the air and they could start fresh. This is true. I can't tell you how it works in the brain, but it totally frees you up. It's like you're stuck in this rut and you can't go further and you keep thinking about something you've done, something you've got to do, whatever it is. And you, I'm sure, have witnessed it, if not experienced it yourself. When things are tense, sometimes people start to laugh, not because they're in a funny situation. But that's the body's way of being able to reboot, if you will, to think straight and get clarity. There's no clarity in the midst of the joke, but once I've cleared the air, so to speak, I can readdress the situation and very often come out to a reasonable solution that I couldn't before. As a lifestyle, it's destructive. You can't live this way. You can't live a life of litzanis and tzchoik because you'll never get anything accomplished and you like the shikr, like the shoita. You can't think that way and you can't accomplish and you can't do. So everything has its place, but not in the face of Yira, not in the face of Tochocha, not in the face of Musar. That's not the place for it. The definition of Litzonis, In some ways, he used the word to mock. And I believe the concept of the Tzonis is taking something of value and devaluating it. You're saying this is not important. This is not valuable. This is not choshev. That's the Tzonis. The Tzonis is taking things that are important and choshev and taking away its chashivas. So that's a bad thing. You are misappropriating what deserves covet and what doesn't. And it's important to recognize these things are chashev, these things aren't chashev, to know where everything fits in the scheme of things. And the person who takes things that are chashev, that's not important, that's the tzonis. That's a terrible thing. It's terribly destructive. Here, you think this is important, this is good, and that's not important, nothing. So that's bad. That's the tzonis. And when we say there are four kitos lasadlavo that are not mekal pnei shechina, one of them is mekal litzanim. The group of litzanim is among the four that will not mekal pnei shechina, because the letz in his lifetime never gave chashivas to Torah, to chachamim, to mitzvahs, to yerushimayim. These things were jokes. They were not important to him. And that's wrong. We don't make jokes or make light of things that are not light. These things are serious. And we have to recognize it as such. That's the ultimate of the tzonis, that is the letz who is not mekal pnei shechina. In this context, Ramchal is just pointing out how you can't have it both ways. You can't be a zohir if you want to engage in tzchok and kalas rosh. You can't be a zohir when you're involved in the tzonis. So even given what I've told you, that there are occasions when you see laughter, which is almost out of place, it serves a purpose in those contexts to give you the ability to go move forward, and you shouldn't be debilitated. You shouldn't be frozen in a rut. So for that, it's helpful. But everything has its place. After hearing a Dvar Torah, after hearing a Dvar Musar, that's not the time for Tzchok and Litzanis. That's not the right place for it. So, in the context of Zahiris, one has to be particularly careful that to realize that if he engages in a regular basis in these things that are considered tzchok and litzanis, then there's no way he'll ever be a zayar. There's no way you'll get off the ground to be careful, because you're never going to take things seriously. Everything's a joke. Everything's unimportant. Everything is fine the way it is. It's a very close cousin to chanifas, where we tell the Rasha, you're fine. That's chanifas. Flattery is telling them, hey, you didn't do anything wrong, you're fine. Everyone does it. That's chanifas. That's terrible too. Litzanis is, it's not important. Everything is the same. That's also not right. Everything's not the same. There are madregas. You can't put everything lumped together. Yeah, it's whatever it is. It's not, no big deal. That's litzanis. The third impediment is zahiris. The third impediment to zahiris are the people you associate with. There are people who are fools and sinners. You hang around them, you can't be a zohar. This is what the pasuk says. If your friends with the fools, they will take you astray. We see many times. Even if the person is thoroughly convinced of his obligation, he understands what he has to do, he understands how to be careful, and yet he doesn't hold on to it strongly, he's weak with it, or he'll violate some things. Why? Peer pressure. He doesn't want people to make fun of him, or he wants to be accepted by them. This is what Shlomo tells us. If people who make changes don't stick around with them. But you're going to say, don't we learn, aren't you supposed to be connected with people, and you should be comfortable with people, they should be comfortable with you when you're with them. You have to tell them, when do we say that? Those are the people who behave the way they should. Then there should be more of those brios. But people who behave like animals are not the people you should be friendly with. Ushloim Maser Oishal Melech tells us further, Lech Midegelish Kasil, stay away from the fool. For David Melech Oimer, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Asher Yishal Halach Bederech Chatorim and so on. Kapir Shechazal tells, Zelashoinom Im Halach Sofalamot. If you even go, you'll end up staying. If you stand, you'll end up sitting. I didn't sit with people who are false. I hate people who do wicked. A person must strive to purify and cleanse himself. Keep his feet away from the multitudes who are steeped in nonsense. Just keep his feet guided to the yards of Hashem, v'mishkan osav, in his dwelling places. Who should David ask from Sinai? This is what David says at the end. Erchotz benikoyin kapay v'sovas mizbech Hashem. I will wash my hands in cleanliness, and I will circle the mizbech of Hashem. V'biyera lo sheimotzei bechevus mishayilah galav. And if you find yourself among people who will mock you, lo yeshes libo alaga, who pay no attention to their mocking. Adraba yilag amaligav v'yivazim. You can mock them and disgrace them. You could think, if I had an opportunity to earn a lot of money, would he stop us because people laugh at him? Certainly you don't want to lose your neshama because they'll make fun of you. This is what Chazal warned us. Sometimes you have to be chutzpahdik, brazen like the Namer, to do Hashem's will. I will speak about your mitzvahs in front of kings, and I will not be embarrassed. Most kings, all their involvement and all their discussion revolves around great feats and pleasure. David is also a king. Wouldn't it be embarrassing for David to talk when he's with other kings about Musar and Torah? Rather than talk about great feats and accomplishments and pleasures, David didn't care. He was not seduced by this nonsense. He achieved the truth. He says, "Ah, just the opposite." I will speak about your laws in front of kings, and I will not be embarrassed. Similarly, Shain Lavi says, I'll put my face like flint, like stone, and I'll know I will not be embarrassed. So the biggest detriment is zehirus. What keeps you from being careful with your actions? What keeps you from following through on your commitments to be better? The people you associate with. If they think it's foolish, if they think it's silly, you're going to be sorely tempted to want to be accepted by them and not to behave in a way that they will scorn you. And that's a big problem. It takes a lot of guts to stand up and go against the tide and to do what's right when no one else is doing it. So this is something you have to be careful with. Even though you are supposed to be Me'urvim HaBrios, you have to know which Brios we're talking about, people who do the right things. People do the wrong things, you don't have to be Me'urvim HaBrios with them. This is challenging on many levels. First of all, it's challenging when you are engaged with non-Jews in the workplace, in school, people who don't quite understand where you're coming from, people who think you're strange, people who think you're weird, whether it's by the way you dress, or maybe the way you talk, or by your unwillingness to join them on different occasions. Why don't you come with us? We're going here or there or the other. And obviously, someone who wants to be accepted by these people will go downhill very fast. So you have to put up your defenses and almost make it like you're a hermit. You don't like people. You like to be on your own, and you just don't bother me. Don't talk to me. I'm not saying you shouldn't be pleasant and capable of a civil conversation, but you're not going to take them up on let's go out for coffee or let's go do this together. You're not. Why not? I'm busy. You'll come with some excuse why you can't. And this is something that you have to be vigilant about. It's not only when you are dealing with people who aren't Jewish. You deal with Jewish people who are not religious. And they also don't understand. You don't want to insult them. You want to make a Kiddush Hashem. But they don't understand why you're doing this, and why you're doing that, and why you're davening mincha, and whatever else you're doing, and you only eat certain foods. You have to be strong. This is what we do. And that's it. And even if they think it's funny, and they think it's odd, okay. So, I'll do what I'm doing anyway. As Kenemer, I'll do what I have to do, regardless of that. And then you have chevra, who are religious, but they're not very careful. They may not be that careful with tznius, they might not be that careful with kashrus, they might be careful with mitzvahs. And when you attempt to be the frumi, and they'll say disparaging comments, you think you're better than us, and it's unfortunate, but that should not be reason to succumb, to lower yourself to that level. We don't lower our standards of tznius, kashrus, kiyum hamitzvahs, even if someone's going to say something disparaging about us. If you're by someone's house and it's time for Shalosh Shudas and it's Shabbos, and you're not going to go home for Shalosh Shudas, and they're not washing, I'm sorry, I need two rolls, I need two matzahs to wash. What do you mean? You don't have to wash Shalosh Shudas. We wash for Shalosh Shudas. Don't have to be so frum. It's not being so frum. It's a mitzvah to have Shalosh Shudas. It's Halacha Shulchan Aruch. I'm one Shalosh Shudas. And if you're in a group, it's embarrassing. You got to make a point of asking for matzah or rolls. Don't be embarrassed. Ask for the matzah, ask for the rolls, and then invite everyone to join you. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But you don't refrain from doing what you're supposed to do because of comments people are going to make. Of course, they shouldn't make the comments. That's not the point. The point is, from your perspective, putting yourself in that position clearly works against you in your striving to be Zahir. And ultimately, the fourth example is when a person is married. You want to make sure that the person you marry is on the same page as you are. The last thing you want is someone who is going to pull you down in your ruchnius. Unfortunately, I've heard stories about fellows who want their wives to dress in clothes that they don't feel tznius. The wives would never dress this way when they were single, and now they're married, and he wants her to dress this way. And it creates all bias issues, and it's terrible. It's terrible. There was a girl who was dating, and the shadchan reported back to the girl's mother that the boy wants her skirts to be higher. She wears her skirts too low. And the mother of the girl calls me up. Is this normal? I said, no, it's not normal. Run away from this guy. What kind of business is that? The boy's comparing to the shadchan. What kind of girl is she? Her skirts are too low. What's going to happen to the girl he marries? So, obviously, the person that you most want to be on the same page with and you don't want to be mocked is the person you're married to. You don't want someone who's going to give you a hard time for davening mincha. You don't want to marry someone who's going to give you a hard time for wearing tznius clothing, and on and on. So this is something that you really have to be on the same page, because on all the things that's going to knock down your zahiris, the most likely chevra that's going to be detrimental is going to be your spouse. So that is something that if you intend to be a Zohar, you want to marry someone who wants to be a Zohar. If the fellow doesn't want to be a Zohar, it's not going to work. I know there are cases. There are cases of women who marry fellows who are not quite as frum as they are. But they don't have these problems because they are B'nai Aliyah. They're striving to improve and be better. So if the fellow is striving to improve and be better, he'll grow. He'll grow. And in some cases, that kind of shidduch works out. But you certainly don't want to put yourself in a position where the person that you're dating looks down on the things that you think are important. If you think these things are important, then chashuv, and you strive to them, and he poo-poos them, that's not good. Because ultimately, you are working towards certain goals, and if he's working against those goals, that's going to be disastrous. The worst situation that I've seen a number of times, well, it's not the worst, but one of the worst, is when you have a couple that are seemingly on the same page, and maybe they really were on the same page, and they get married. And then after a number of years, one or the other, go either way, the husband or the wife, starts backtracking. And before you know it, he or she is being Mechal Shabbos and not careful, and it's a disaster. It's a total disaster. And these marriages usually end up in divorce, and it's very sad. It's very sad. Very, very sad. And the kids have mixed messages. Here you have these parents that are brought up in the regular schools. Next thing you know, one parent is doing things the teachers are saying you're not allowed to do, and the other one is. And it's not like you can always predict that this is going to happen 10 years from now. At the time when they were dating and when they got married, everything seemed fine. How did it fall apart? It's a good question. Either it fell apart by a lack of zahirus over time. One of the two just was not careful. And one mistake to another mistake to one leads one to the other, to the other, to the other. Yeah. And you end up in an untenable situation. Sometimes people get involved in drugs and things like that. And happens, unfortunately. And I've seen this both ways. I always used to think it's the guys who get into drugs and end up divorced. Not always. Sometimes it's the wives who get into these addictions, unfortunately. And the marriage cannot last. So that could destroy marriage. I mean, if you talk about Tzchok and Kalatzon, there's no bigger lack of zahirus than someone who gets addicted to drugs. And unfortunately, it goes both ways. It goes both ways. Women are not exempt, or immune, I should say, from those issues. And sometimes it's something that was deep, deep inside that was never worked out. And then it comes to the surface later on in life. And it's tragic. It's totally tragic. Events that may have occurred when a boy or girl were children, never dealt with, never treated, comes to the surface 10 years into marriage and could be disastrous. Doesn't have to be, but could be. Could be disastrous. So there are a number of different reasons why it's possible to find a situation where this fine, cute couple who are basically on the same page, 10 years down the road, one of them is off the derech and the other one is not, and they are divorced. Again, there are numerous reasons why that can happen. And you can't, I can't say that these are predictable, but one thing's for sure. If you know you're not on the same page before you get married, you have to be very, very sure of yourself that this is not a situation where it's going to end up like that. So again, if someone is a Ben Ali, if someone is growing and improving and striving and interested, so it's a good chance that would be fine. I'm not personally 100% comfortable with it. I think most women want a husband they can look up to when it comes to Yahadus. I don't think most women want to be the authority in the house when it comes to Kashrus and Shabbos and Muksa and Hilchos Brachos. They want a husband to lean on and look up to, and he should be able to either know the answer himself or have someone he can speak to. I don't think most women want that position for themselves. But it could be that, you know, someone is on the track and he will get there, and he's not there yet, but he's working towards it, and eventually You see from his progress over the past several years, he'll get there, and that's something that you can feel comfortable about in some cases. But again, if you want to be a Zohar, and Zohar is the first step in your Avodah, you want to be a Zohar so you can be a Zohar, so you can go on and on, you don't want someone who's going to mock you and make fun of you and think what you're doing is stupid and unimportant. That's terrible. That's terrible. So that should never get past the dating stage. But like I said, sometimes things happen later in life, and it's tragic and it's terrible. So the best thing is for husband and wife to be zeret together. I'm not saying every husband and wife should learn Mishnah Zerum together. I know there are some who do. There are husbands and wives who learn Musa together. They do the Shemar Saloshim daily together. They do the Mishnah Zerum together. If that works, it works. You know, if that's what's good for you, that's beautiful. It doesn't work for everybody. But you definitely should be Zohir together. You should make decisions together. Is this good for our Yerushalayim? Is it not good for Yerushalayim? Is this thing belong in a Jewish house? Doesn't it belong in a Jewish house? Is this the kind of environment we want to raise our children in, to be Yareim and Shleimim or not? And these are things that a couple should be on the same page to work with throughout marriage. Throughout marriage. This is not a one-time conversation and then you're done. This is something that you continue. And if in the course of life you find that you come across bumps in the road and there's an inequity in Zahirus, that one of the two is being more Zahir than the other, that's time to address it, like right away. Don't let it snowball into something which is irretrievable and unfixable. That's something that should be immediately addressed and come to terms. And again, I think a lot of it has to do with the chevra component, this last component. Meaning to say, you have this couple that are on the same page. And they're on the same page year one, second anniversary, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. And then things start getting different. What's changed by the seventh year? It's usually coworkers, work environment, work culture. So you have to keep an eye on that. And again, this works both ways, men and women. It works both ways. You have to keep an eye. Is this the right place for me? Is this the right culture in the workplace? Is this the right environment to be in? And a person has to think long and hard if their environment that they put themselves 8-10 hours a day, how that's going to impact the ruchnius, has an impact when they come home. And if they're vigilant and they're zohir, then they'll have a lifetime of growth together. And if not, it could be very scary.